everyone. I'm here with Andy Kirk from visualizingdata.com. I'm super excited to be talking to Andy. You just completed a whirlwind tour of North America and the UK and parts of Europe, training people on visualizing data. So Andy knows a lot about what people are talking about, as well as just some questions and things that are coming up as it pertains to visualizing data. And so I was real excited to reach out to Andy and get this interview so we can talk to him about just what's going on and what he's seen in this tour. So my interactions with Andy go back about a year now. I won a contest on his website, and it's funny, it really kind of pushed me over. I had been thinking about starting a blog for some time, and to me, this was my big opportunity to get my blog sort of highlighted on his website. So I did that, and it really, again, you know, kind of kickstarted me and got me going. So I'm real thankful to Andy and just real excited about talking to him. And then if you haven't seen his website, visualizingdata.com, you really need to check it out. So, hi, Andy. How are you doing today?
Hi, Ben. Very good. Thank you very much. Yeah, day two into the jet lag recovery process, but not doing too bad over here.
You're back over on your side of the Atlantic now, right?
Yeah, enjoying the summer rain. In fact, I say that, but it's just stopped raining right now, so it's the first time we've seen a little bit of sunshine. So yeah, as you just introduced there, just back from a two-day tour in Chicago and Toronto, following up a recent tour to New York, Washington DC, and Baltimore. So that's kind of the first set of events I've done on your side of the pond, and it's been a wonderful experience, really.
Awesome, man. We're really looking forward to when you can come out here west to the West Coast. You'll definitely get more sunshine when you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that will be definitely happening towards the end of this year or the very start of next year. But within the next 6 months, I'll be doing a West Coast tour. Probably launching from the very northwest, even maybe Vancouver as a starting point, then probably getting all the way down to LA, San Diego, that sort of tour. So there'll be multiple stops along the way.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep people informed about that as well. And definitely when you're in town here in LA, we'll be stopping in to say hi. So maybe could you, just before we talk about your training tour, Andy, could you just tell us a little bit about just kind of yourself and how you became interested in data visualization?
Yeah, sure. So I've been in this field for, I reckon, about six years now. My career before that and overlapping for a certain amount of time as well has been in information management, business analysis, performance management, always involving analysis and presentation of data. And typically for very big organizations, I've worked for the police force and for the University of Leeds and other big engineering and insurance organization. So I've spent all my professional career working with data, and it was actually a very random speculative Google search looking for the term radar chart about 6 years ago, and I came across the first response on Google was an article on Stephen Few's Perceptual Edge website, and it was this very, very kind of almost Hollywood-like eureka moment when, having had this career working with analysis and producing graphics along the way, but also prior to that at school being very much into art and maths and that kind of strange mix that brought, this is the first time that I really found this harmony between kind of creativity and art analysis, and I guess never looked back since, really. So from that point, I did a master's research study into the subject, and then launched the site February of 2010, so just over 2 years, 2.5 years nearly. And then, you know, as it's kind of clear on the website, I've been trying to use that as a platform, not just to share with others all the kind of key trends and projects and thoughts around the subject, but also to use it as a platform for myself to learn and continue to learn about the subject, because I find that writing about a topic forces you to really kind of clarify your opinions, your convictions, your understanding of a particular development. So, you know, on a very kind of basic level, I use the blog to learn myself, but the fact that it's got viewers is a wonderful bonus. And from there, I've been able to get the kind of, you know, sufficient profile to launch the training programs and to get consultancy projects and design projects. And also recently, in particular, sort of speaking events at conferences. So it's been a wonderful few years, and, you know, I can only hope that it continues in the same direction going forward.
That's awesome. So I definitely discovered your blog, and I love how you just highlight what's going on, and I feel like definitely following your blog, I have a better feel for what's going on, both in terms of conferences and what people are sharing. So that's a great story. And you know, I imagine, Andy, that you're finding as well as you do these training sessions that you're learning from the people that are in the sessions as well. So maybe could you just give us a little bit of, you know, what you cover in that session, and then we can talk about like the human side of the training, who's attending and what are the kinds of things that they're interested in?
Yeah, sure. So the difficulty of trying to kind of craft up what an introduction to the subject is, it has been quite prolonged. I mean, I started really thinking about delivering the training sessions about just over a year ago, really. I've done a few sort of 2-hour events and a few half day events, but they really were just very kind of light touch, skimming the surface. But to actually conceive what a 1-day introduction looked like was something that I kind of battled around and swung from different formats to completely different itineraries. Now, the solution I've settled on is something which is structured around a methodology which I believe is something that will be portable, flexible to any projects and for any experience of designer, but also whether the person is programming capable or is just somebody who's in a sense leading and getting others to work on the kind of technical elements. It's something that I feel is the right structure to deliver to an introductory audience. So we cover in the first instance the background to the subject, the foundation of some of the key theories, especially around kind of cognitive science about how the brain, the eyes work, visual perception. And then we really launch into the methodology, and the morning session is really around the preparatory stage, really, about how you kind of contextualize and understand exactly what you're trying to achieve with the visualization project, what curiosities you're answering, what questions, stories you're trying to portray, and also the kind of intimate familiarization process of getting the raw data and actually learn about this raw material that you're going to be working with. And then we move on into the afternoon session purely about the design. What are the different visual options, the different visual layers that we need to kind of harmonize and bring to a cohesive solution. But also the reasoning why some solutions work better for others. I try and stay clear of any strict rules and hard principles. I tend to present considerations, things that people need to think about and justify to themselves or their client, because there are so many different scenarios that lead to, you know, endless permutations about when something is a better solution than others. So I try and equip people with the thinking skills to be able to reason themselves through a project. And then we finish off with the construction and the launch of a project. And obviously within a 1-day session, the scope for creating anything there and then is difficult and essentially a non-starter. So what we do is we spend a decent amount of time in groups conceiving a potential solution to a given problem and using that session to help try and, cement what we've learned through the rest of the day. And in terms of the what you just kind of introduced there, the fact that I can learn off other people as well, that's absolutely the case. The variety and the richness of the backgrounds of people coming to these events is fantastic for me. It's not a single industry. It's not a single atypical delegate. It's literally everyone from every background, all ages, all levels of seniority, all types of analytical through to creativity, through to programming skills. And for me, that's kind of justified the very objective or the very mission I was trying to fulfill, which is to take this subject to all these people around the world who are really representing this kind of the age that we live in. Everyone is now responsible for data in some shape, way or form, whether it's analysing or presenting or any kind of stage of the process. Everyone's now got a responsibility that would otherwise in the past have been on the fringes of an organisation or very specialist roles, statisticians, engineers. And so the sheer fact that the variety of people that come along to these events just sort of supports that mission, really.
That's great. No, so I suppose you're seeing just, again, the cross-section of pretty much Western professional, you know, kind of industry and all different types of backgrounds. And they're all interested in data visualization. And is it mostly Andy so they can apply it in their career and, you know, more or less do a better job working with data?
Yeah. At least 4/5 of the people there are looking to do the subject better, to practice and to learn. And I mean, one of the key slides I put there, going back to Stephen Few, is that we can get by so far alone on instinct. And then we have to learn things. We need to be taught. And that's what I'm trying to do, bridge that gap between how people manage to get by on taste and sort of a judgment call, and move them into something that's much more reasoned and understood. So that would represent about 4/5. The remaining fifth is a group of people who might never get their hands dirty with data or the analysis or the creativity, but they want to be in command of the reasons why some visualization methods are more successful than others and the different scenarios in which they exist, so that they, as almost evaluators or commissioners of visualization work from others, whether it's internally or externally, they want to be able to better appreciate what is more effective methods. And so that kind of makes up the remaining part. It's not everyone is necessarily the designers themselves, but they've all got different roles in the fundamental, the process, and all the different mindsets and roles that we need to fulfill in this process.
So it sounds like you have kind of a morning session where you're going over principles, rules of thumb, you know, guidelines. Then in the afternoon, you move toward kind of more of a hands-on workshop where people are applying some of those principles and solving real world problems. Is that kind of more or less how the flow goes in the day?
Yeah, I mean, we during the course of the day, there are 5 exercises. So I do try and break up me stood at the front preaching about things. I like to try and get people to be active, and certainly in the groups, and the dynamics of the group work are really interesting to observe. I mean, these people have typically, they've never met each other before, so you get this, once again, the interactions between the delegates is always great to watch. So each of the kind of 5 key stages of this methodology is supplemented by an activity, whether it's just a 10-minute task, as I said, towards the end, a much more kind of prolonged hour-long task to work on a particular solution. They do have a chance to break away from me talking and actually sort of apply some exercise. So it feels like a balance that's now kind of there. I mean, when I first started back in November, I think I probably spent too much talking, and now I feel like the balance and the sequence and the rhythm of the sessions is much better.
Got it. That's awesome. Yeah, I think, like anyone who's ever attended a day-long session, it's great to mix it up a little bit. And I'm sure that as you continue to, you know, do these training events, getting that flow right is going to be something that will really kind of take it to the next level. So I'm just curious, though, about the content of the material. Is there anything that you've found that's been either confusing or perhaps challenging for the audience to understand? Or, you know, what, if anything, have you seen any pushback on? Or, you know, what are the things that you look back and say, wow, that was something that was a little tough?
Yeah, probably quite a few things, actually. I mean, I think the most difficult session, and this is only a very kind of small element, but the most difficult thing I've found to try and explain to others has been the stage when I cover the visual variables. So the part at which you start to conceive which method you might use, whether it's a line, a shape, a bar, an angle, for a given data point to portray or encode that data. And I do find that difficult because the time allowed really within the constraints of a single day session don't allow you really to go into the kind of sophisticated levels of detail for this sort of thing. And to be frank, I think what I may look to do in the future is look at maybe a 1.5-day course or even a 2-day course to really help embed this particular session, because I mean, no one's ever really kind of come back and said that I didn't understand that session, but there's certainly a point when you look around at the room, there's quite a few people looking with that kind of expression that suggests I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm hoping at some point it's going to land.
Yeah, right. So Andy, are you talking about like the difference between a continuous variable and an attribute or a discrete variable, things like that?
It's more the situations when the use of, I mean, there is certainly thing elements of what you just mentioned there, certainly the different data types and when a different solution works for different data types. But it's really about trying to introduce to them the array of different visual methods that you could that could be used. So whether it's a line chart, a bar chart, or a stream graph, or a radial diagram, or a network diagram, it really is just trying to get them to think creatively about the different marks, the different ways that you could represent a single piece of data, and then how that is brought into a cohesive single piece. And I mean, you know, it's even hard trying to explain now what I struggle to explain in the session. So that in itself kind of justifies why I've picked this bit. But it is the part in the day when I feel that, not, I wouldn't say anxious about what's coming up, but know that I really need to be as articulate and as succinct as possible, because that is the, I guess in many respects, the make or break part of a design process is how you reason what you should use as the visual encoding. So it's something which I feel is certainly much tighter now than it was when I first started, but I think there's always room for improvement, obviously. So in terms of any other, I don't think there's any kickback as such. I mean, the going back to the interactions of the delegates between themselves, I mean, the first and the fourth exercises that we do involve a certain amount of analysis, evaluation, critique of a variety of existing sort of visualization and infographic work. And these sessions are about trying to get people to look for a different perspective, for a different lens, a visualization piece that previously they may have just taken on a taste judgment alone. I get them to think of it a bit deeper and a bit more perhaps sympathetic in the eyes of the designer about how effective a piece has been constructed. And those are the sessions, the exercises where you do get a difference in opinion of the group members when they feedback about their impressions and their thoughts. And that kind of also reveals the difficulty in following or even trying to impart hard, fast principles, because there's so much variety in how people perceive and read and digest the visualization that you've got to have that inherent flexibility to be able to reach all different types of audiences. So that's the only bit, and it's, you know, it's by no means a kickback, so it's just really nice to observe how people are experiencing things in different ways, but also able to justify from their own point of view why they've had that reaction, rather than just being, you know, I just like it, or I'm just interested in that subject. It's a much more deeper response, and that really kind of helps the day move along, really.
Yeah, well, I think that is actually, it reminded me of a blog post not long ago on dataremix.com where we compared data visualization to chess. And I think in that sense, there is so many options and so many things you could do that, right? And it makes it challenging to sort all that out.
That's right. So you've got to kind of elevate it above the individual moves of a chessboard to general tactics and general strategies that anyone can then adopt with that kind of flexibility depending on the situation they're in. So that's a really good analogy, actually. And I need to revisit that post because I did like it at the time, yeah.
Well, and I think that what you're saying, too, is bringing people together in these small groups to work on visualizations is really what the challenge is for the practitioner, is that they're going to create something that other people are going to have input to, or they're going to have some, they're going to create something that, you know, it's not necessarily, I mean, I think the whole point of visualizing data is to share with others, right? So there's a social component to it, and you start to interact with other people and other minds, and that's exactly where the richness comes in. So,
and also the inherent flaws of people, the kind of instinctive reactions, the prejudices, the pre-programmed, the preconceptions. You know, the sheer fact that we're flawed as human beings means that you could also never achieve complete perfection in this subject, because there will always be different judgments to be made out there.
That's fascinating. That must be a lot of fun, just watching those little groups, you know, kind of get work done together.
And sometimes I'm guilty of letting the time run on until them, because I'm seeing so much energy and dialogue that actually I find it a shame to interrupt people and say, right, we need to move on to the next session. I try and find a way to accommodate those extra bits of time so that those kind of dialogues can continue and really kind of come to a conclusion, because otherwise I think really that's the kind of secondary hidden benefit from the delegates' point of view as well, about meeting the other people in the group and interacting with them, learning their different opinions, because it's not just about me teaching, it's about them discovering themselves. And I think that's a really important element of the course.
Well, that's really great, Andy. I mean, and that's exactly what I was hoping to get out of this interview, is kind of understanding the human side of the training sessions and what you've learned from interacting with the people. So thanks for sharing that. I think that is just really, really neat, and something that I think a lot of people listening to this podcast will really kind of, you know, understand that when it comes to working with data, hey, you know, there might be numbers and it might be very cut and dry, but at the end of the day, you start to interact with people and it gets really rich and complex, and I think that's where the fun is as well.
That's right, yeah.
Well, hey, this has been a really great interview. I'm super excited about having this chance. So thanks again, Andy, for taking time here in the afternoon for you and morning over here. And we will look forward to seeing your West Coast tour coming soon here. We'll make sure everybody hears about that. And so, yeah, just absolutely looking forward to seeing more great things from visualizingdata.com. Definitely a huge fan, and we'll leave it off there. So, Andy, anything you'd like to end with?
No, I mean, obviously, thanks so much for the invite for a chat, Benny. You know, lovely to meet you over the airwaves, as it were. And obviously, you know, I'll be interested to get locations from anybody in any part of the world. I'm certainly sort of starting off with the UK and parts of Europe and sort of the coast of North America, but you know, I'm extremely keen to take this to all parts of the world and once again see the richness of different cultural effects of creativity and societies. And I'm sort of looking forward to trying to find sort of reasons to get down to South America and to Southern Europe and the kind of Mediterranean, because there's a real kind of creativity and richness of style that comes from these places. I'd love to see how that contrasts with, as you said, the kind of sort of northwestern part of the world, and see if there's anything new to learn from them as well. But otherwise, you know, once again, Ben, lovely to speak to you, and thanks for the time.
Thank you, Andy. So for everyone listening, we're going to post a link in this blog post associated with this podcast where you can go to Andy's website, take a look at the training sites he has. Also, there's a link in his website to give him feedback to where you'd like to see him show up next. So with that, we'll end here. And so thanks again, Andy. Everyone out there, take care. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Goodbye.